unfortunately, this Friday is a working day. Your normal working class will tell you that it's a three-day shift. It doesn't change. It's 6 to 2, 2 to 10, 10 to 6. So it remains a normal day, it's a normal Friday. Regrettable, I must say you are absolutely chasing time and chasing work. If there is one thing I said when I was told I must go back, I thought if it was energy, I would have preferred to remain in energy as one department and then be taken to energy and mineral resources. Now, with mineral resources together with energy is a trauma. I think even before we met for the first time, I think we received almost two reports of fatality. One of them that I remember was in Hamon, where they say there was a rock fall. So the reason I only say is trauma in minerals is that when there's an element of mineral, you end up dealing with what I call the Department of Funeral Affairs. Because every time there is a problem on the disaster. The second one is that I happen to get an opportunity to look on the issue. When the minister spoke about the role play situation, I remember that role play also goes with Aurora. Part of the problem in Aurora was that when the shareholders came in, they ripped off all the assets, and the workers were left, and other creditors, but mostly when workers, were left with nothing, including their pension. I won't say fortunately, but in their pursuance of that matter, the court ended up saying these shareholders needed to pay those workers. And I remember one of them was a man who had contributed without getting nothing. But by virtue of being part of the shareholders, he was found to be equally liable in as much as he might have lost about 20 million rand. That was Kunu Moses Zuma, if I'm not mistaken, the court said he should pay or fine of about 200 million. Now, when I read the optimum case, we tried at the Fifth Parliament to deal with the issue to say there is a risk and a danger that optimum might go with similar route. Now, with what I've received is that the employees there now, the last time they received salaries was November, October, yeah. And I saw the report yesterday in the story. And part of that problem is an issue that I remember that I think not that we should be opposed from doing business, but part of the problem, which is similar to the case in Liliman, is the role of the business. And down the line, if you even go to your later report, you will see the challenges that comes with the mind, especially when it is still is subjected to a business rescue process. And I think that's just one of those things that we have to continue. But then we said so a lot of members, let me welcome everyone who is present in the meeting. Then again, we agree that today we are only dealing with the adoption of the report. And then I will also accept the fact that time, unfortunately, is the one that presses us. We would have loved to do justice to the process, but unfortunately, we have to, as I said, keep the time running. So we are only dealing with the adoption of the report, but we have to suspend the practice. Is there any apologies there? Okay. Ever since so honorable members, one other thing I think I must say is that as our consensus, agreement is by consensus. As consensus, we agree that we will deal with the report, but mainly we will focus on the observations and recommendations. But those members who have started the report, we are not taking away to make discussion of corrections or issues that they feel in the report needs to be added, what we call addition. But generally, what we will be focusing on is what is the observation and what will be the recommendations that we are making. I think that is basically the area that we will be focusing on. I agreed and suggested that the members must be given the minutes, but if you know from the minutes, only the minutes for the first day, which is around the period of the election of the chairperson and then the presentation by the session. I know some people may say, but these were two separate meetings. Who will say, no, this was the same meeting adjourned to another time, but not the same day. So that's why we put those minutes together. We will still go in to prepare the other ones in relation to Wednesday, where we're dealing with the presentations, because we must have them as a record. But we are not going to adopt now. That's my request to that members. We're not going to adopt the minutes now. We'll only deal with the report. The minutes are going to constitute the first meeting of a normal committee meeting. And I must say, we hope we've succeeded to convince the House Chair on the request to have 2 days for this committee. And I'm sure even with the presentation by the Minister or the Department, will still be not an issue compared to that. So it is absolutely impossible to understand that this thing that is going to be 1 day. These were 2 departments separate. One was meeting Tuesday, one was meeting Friday. But no, Wednesday, yeah. So we seemed, unfortunately, we seemed not to have time more than we would have loved. We would have loved to meet Tuesday, Wednesday. It seems though the slot we might get is going to be Tuesday and Friday. And we have all agreed that Friday is a normal working day. So we are working on that, but that does not stop us if there are pressures. That I was complaining to say, if by the look of things you combine what minerals suggest and what energy suggest, it's clear that we might be sitting almost 8 to 10 years as a country. So we may have to use even Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, but it will depend on the magnitude and on the program that we all have. So I'm just alerting members to be ready and be prepared that whatever we do, we'll be committed to the 2 days, hopefully, when the final program will be drafted. It's high likely that we will retain Tuesday, and we might get Friday. as a committee. The last thing I think Honorable Mika raised, and now I'm on very open session. We still have a problem of this committee. Unfortunately, they never introduced themselves. We brought Ayanda Boss, who is the secretary of the committee. She was the secretary for mineral resources. We brought Ariko. I don't know the same name, I just was the secretary for energy. Noma Mugaleni was the executive secretary, whatever. That title changes from time to time.
Sorry, Chair, I just said, what does an executive secretary do? We've got a committee secretary, we've actually got two committee secretaries, so I want to know what an executive secretary
does. It's not your secretary. If you want to send...
No, I didn't know that chairperson put
in. No, we do. We think we got it to minister.
Okay.
And then we've got Mr. Bayama, who is the content advisor. He was with Mineral Resources. We've got Mr. Mabota, who was with NAG as a researcher. The reason I'm saying this is that I'm engaging with the community manager. One of the things we've raised was that my fear is that when you look at the two, and I'm sure even with the presentation that we made, you will see that there's going to be a huge work. Mr. Kose was then presented to finance,
Yes.
And I said, no, please, then we bring him back until we see ourselves and we manage the transition and see whether there will be no need for him to be in this committee. We used to have, I'm told, since 2015, NAG has never had a content advisor. And we're not sure whether we can continue without one. And then they did something very strange. From Minerals, we used to have Dr. Nicole, who used to be the researcher. He was told that he must go on retirement. And he went to retirement. Now, when we go on the threat plan, then we'll have to go through even the demands of the committee. I always say I share a different view sometimes on how we do budget in Parliament, but it's a matter for another day. In my view, if you don't have personnel, your oversight capacity might be highly limited. But I think when we deal even at the level, so Mr. Porter is going to be here. He says until we finish budget, I say until we make an observation whether we need his services or not. And in the meantime, he's going to be with us. So I'm just saying if you don't see him, you must know that there is a unilateral decision that would have been taken that he goes to the another colleague. But as we said, so honorable members, the report will start with mineral resources. That is a Mineral Resources, because it was a separate department, is 49. we'll start with that one. And then we will come back to vote 23 soon to the remaining. But let me say, when we go to vote 29, is there any matter that honourable member wants to raise in relation to the, I don't know how to say the outline, but the content before we arrive at on page 11, which is 5 of 11, which is about observation. I must allow members that. Honourable Mayor?
Chair, just a comment on page 2, at the very top of the page, where we have a contradiction. The very first sentence reads, despite a more positive policy environment, mining remains under extreme pressure. And then in the next paragraph, we talk about how, in terms of mining policy, we are poorly ranked, and Fraser's Mining Institute's attractiveness puts us a very long way down in terms of mining policy attractiveness. It's a contradiction in terms. We seem to be deluding ourselves that our mining policy is positive towards investment, and it's not. Insecure. They are not willing to invest where they don't know what's going to happen from day to day. And as much as we might lack what is being done, the reality is that we don't have a positive policy environment. The reality is that we are not getting more mining licenses. The number of mines has decreased substantially. The number of mining operators has decreased substantially. The number of applications has dropped. It takes too long to apply and get a mineral right. All of these things were admitted by the department yesterday. So let's not make statements that assume that we're actually doing well when we're not. I'm happy to say, if we start that sentence at mining remains under extreme pressure, but to put in the first part that despite a more positive mining policy environment, I don't agree with that. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks, Honourable Chair. I think we should keep the sentence as it is. And when we say that we have got a positive policy environment, and somebody feels that we do not have, the views of a single individual can supersede a deep-seated research to say, indeed, we do have a positive policy environment in terms of mining. And you are accepting that there are challenges because the mining sector is under pressure. But it does not say that we do not have a positive policy environment. We do. We can't, in this portfolio committee meeting, want to undertake a policy review process of the mining sector. We can't want to do that. We'll be out of order. I decide who don't know. I feel that the sentence will be kept as it is. Thank you.
Honorable Phillips and then Honorable Mashallah.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to ask the honourable member that's just stated that there are deep-seated research to prove that we have a positive mining policy. Can he maybe send us some copies of that? I would be very interested to see that research. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. I think the spirit in which we look at that sentence should bear some positive in it, in a sense that it's an acknowledgement that we may not have a mining sector that is attractive. And in acknowledging that, the department and in the report that we are dealing with, there is an acknowledgement that there is a mitigating factor that comes with the review of the mining sector itself to ascertain that the policy itself is accepted widely by the mining companies, stakeholders, and everybody else. That's why it was challenged in the first place. Now, the positive spirit that we should adopt is that it's coming back again, as good as it is, and hopefully it will be more attractive to the mining business and community. So I should think the sentence should remain as it is, obviously acknowledging that there are some shortfalls in the regard. The sentence, yes, it is what it's saying, but I should think that we have mitigating factors and we should give them a chance as outlined by the department. Thank you.
So that I'm the role, Honourable Miner.
Chair, just two comments. The first is there's a comment in that sentence that says low commodity prices. And many of our commodities are at their highest that they've been in many, many years. So, for example, gold is at a high. Rhodium is at a high. Platinum is at a high.
Platinum's not quite at a high, but it's on an upward trend. Palladium is on a high. So we need to be careful about statements that say low commodity prices when some of our major export minerals are actually on a high. The other part that I just wanted to refer to was what the Honourable Member has just spoken about, that it is universally accepted, the review of the mining charter. And this goes to page 3, the 1, 2, 3, the fourth paragraph, where yesterday we learned that the Minerals Council of South Africa is taking the mining charter on review because they question the constitutional authority of the minister to actually review the mining charter, and that the legislation does not give him that authority. So while I accept that it has been reviewed by the minister, it is now in court precisely for the reason that our mining sector do not agree that the minister has the authority to do what he says. That's not universally accepted.
Okay.
I'm just pointing that out. I'm raising these. I'm not challenging anyone. I'm just saying this is what is the reality that's out there, the facts that are out there. And if we're going to be honest in our observation, we need to observe facts. And the facts are, it's not universally accepted. It is being taken to court. The mining sector is in decline. There are high commodity prices, not low commodity prices. These are verifiable facts.
Okay. Can I help you, Honourable Member? Let me start all the questions. Honourable Member, my name is Isn't it a contradiction? Let's even look at the contract. Without dealing with the theory of economy, let's look at the contract. From where I'm sitting, I don't see a contradiction. I see an illustration of why the above first paragraph is a continuation. That's the first thing. I will agree with other members. We can let me say this. It depends from where you come from, whether you see it as positive policy or negative. The truth of the matter, from where I sit, at least I've got a bit of an experience. In the industry currently, there is no complaint about policy uncertainty. There is none. I can say this with full confidence and affirmation. Fortunately, among other things that will be dealing, will be meeting with the stakeholders, and amongst those will be the mining bosses through their structure. Amongst other things, but I'll come on the mining charter other than the mining and explain, because in the mining charter, it's not about this, it's not as bad with the unprovenance. They are not taking the mining charter to court. The issue that is in court is a part of the mining charter that says when you make an application for a renewal of a license, you should comply with the new proposals of the mining charter. That's what they are taking to court. Because their argument, no, I can tell you, I'll give you the number, what is the name of Philip? Oh, this is another one. You must be busy. I left with Philip Chabani, left with them. They say, we don't have a problem. I'm not saying that's me. That's what they said. From the Mineral Council, we are satisfied with the processes of the mining charter. We don't have a problem with the mining charter. But we've got to share a different view with the department. We would have loved to find a solution without the court making a judgment. A solution that says, is this correct? If we make an example, which is an issue that we'll engage with it. Say, if I get a mining right for 10 years, and somebody gets a mining right for 30 years, I want to renew my mining right because 10 years come to an end. I should comply with the new rules which were not there when I left, because there was a reasonable expectation that in the renewal of the license, I should continue to comply with the condition. That's why I understand it in court and take it to court. But I'm saying we can leave that issue. But as far as I know, the second thing was what the minister raised, that they are still dealing with it, they have not dealt with it to finality, is the productive section of what is contained in the money charter. It's not been finalized as of the third is for continuing. So I wouldn't like to, but as I said, when we meet with them, they will explain. But as far as I know, when I met with the two, that's why they said that we don't want you to hear it on the street. We want to brief you and tell you that with the processes and the charter itself, we are satisfied. For instance, they don't have a problem with the quota, or the second part was the issue of the extension on local procurement. That's what they raised. There's two issues. But they said even that was not a big issue. The issue that we are taking is about the question of the minister giving authority on a condition, on a mining right, that would not have been there at the time and at the point of making an application. So I don't have to first, but let's leave that as it is on the charter. The issue then that I wanted us to say, let's read the paragraph more. I read in the paragraph, it says, and again, when we meet with stakeholders, what are the reasons? That's why it says. So I said, what are the reasons that have been raised in relation to the pressure? I can tell you now, amongst other things that have been raised, even on job, you see, they will be very, what have we used to use that actually? They will be so excited that the commodity prices are high. They will be very happy. They say then there are no basis for retrenchment. Part of the reasons that the industry has raised, I think that is the issue. Maybe if we want to change due to, we can then find a better way. But part of the reason that has been raised in relation to the challenges on the mining industry decline. There has been no commodity price. But as you say, I would, because here we are citing reasons that have been made. It doesn't mean the reason, if for instance platinum goes up today, it will not go down tomorrow. The reasons that have been raised, among others, is commodity prices. Maybe we can talk about the fluctuation of commodity prices instead of talking about low or high, but the truth of the matter is that when commodity, the argument that has been raised, why the decline and why the job losses is low commodity prices. That's what it, so we're not saying, for instance, gold is if tomorrow gold is low, we will then say reasons that are being used. It's not saying currently gold is low. It says the reason that have been, it's due to reasons that have been put forward. It's true what you say, gold may be up, platinum may be up, but when it comes to the pressure, if that is exactly what you say, when they are low, that's the pressure that is being put forward. Not that we are saying they cannot be gold, they will never go low, no. We are saying the reasons. They can tell you there could be others. For an example, it could be the cost of doing work, among other things, that when the mining industry, the mines are becoming more deeper, they require more expensive, advanced infrastructure or equipment. And in the process, they cost more. So we're talking about, in general, what is the argument around those pressures, including the interest in the community. So my view is that then the second part, I didn't see that part saying, no, it is the second part, as the members were saying, it is according to the Fraser Institute. But when you read that paragraph, one might actually say it actually raises an issue whether we're performing well, because what number 13, only Zimbabwe and the DRC are behind us. So it is exactly what it says. So if you read properly that second paragraph, read it. It says, according to the Fraser Institution's mining investment attractiveness index, South Africa ranked 48 out of 98 jurisdictions in 2017. the country was ranked fourth in Africa in terms of mining produce across 15 countries surveyed in Africa. South Africa ranked 13th. Only Zimbabwe and the Democratic Republic of Congo had less favorable mining policy environments than South Africa in the new mining company executives. So it is not a contradiction because we talk about 2017 research work. It's not talking about, I can assure you with due respect, when I went to Mr. N, with the appointment of the new minister, there's been a lot of optimism in the industry. And there is a lot of policy work. Amongst other things, for instance, the industry welcomed the withdrawal of the MPRPA to make it a new legislation so that they can do so. That's like the separation of oil and gas, to have the separate policy, not as part of the MPRPA. The mining charter was done within 6 months, it was up and running. So this is a study of 2017, not 2018. That is a reflection. Maybe we'll come back to 2018 and get what is the status. But my view is that the other issues, I don't think they are necessarily related to the report. They are related on our own theoretical understanding of economics in relation to the issues. So I would say, but I think as members have said, I don't like a situation where we must agree theoretically or not, we don't agree. By the way, if the ANC were to agree on economic policy, I will tell you, I will not be surprised tomorrow when some of those members, either those ANC members may not be in the committee or the DA members may not be in the committee. So we must agree and accept that in terms of policy choices, we may have to share different views. And I think we must give members their rights from a point of politically to share that different view. And I think members must be entitled. So, I don't think we should force members to agree with us or to agree with the report when they feel ideologically that it is not a correct perspective that we are giving. Let's give them that latitude. So can we then deal with the observations if that is not that's the only issue. Okay.
From what he just said, and it's acceptable to some extent the way he has done, I would suggest in order of the report and narrow down what might be here or there, in terms of just the language, we remove on page 2, sentence number 2, where it talks about low commodities. We just speak about commodities and not the word low or high. And then it will have the same effect. It won't change the understanding and the nature of the paragraph.
So we are covering all of our... So it says due to commodity prices.
Yes.
What are the Philip?
Chair, if I could maybe suggest that we put in your wording there, where we say due to fluctuating commodity prices.
That's fine. That's a problem. Will I remember?
No,
I mean. Okay. Now we agree. Ideologically. Probably when we meet any time in the next meeting, we'll be talk, talking a different story of what is current. Okay, and let's go to observation, Honourable Member. There are no contracts, right? Because they are drafted by human beings. That's why you are in committee. I wonder if the room from Gino's brother was the something come from the Sudan and they told. I can see the people then they told about his own. We are expecting like we're starting the meeting. We're dealt with the issues that we are on vote 29. Those are many. If you go, you see what we vote 29, which is mineral resources. But I remember, where are the, this one I have to first collect what it is, the non-proper plan on what the department will do to address the issue of illegal mining, especially the approach that addresses the whole value chain of illegal mining in British Vietnam. The APPs that allude to the beneficiation strategy, however, there is no clear time frame on when it will be implemented and how will roles be shared between the Department of Trade and Industry and that of mineral resources and energy. There is a need to ensure the benefits from mining flow to communities. This cannot be possible without ensuring that communities are fully informed on what to expect from mining projects. It is not clear how the issue of barriers by the department deals with the problem of scarce skills in the industry, which can eventually reduce the country's dependence on foreign skills. The issue of occupational diseases continues to negatively impact the mining industry. There is still a need for investment on research to ensure sustained research and development. To ensure that the disease burden is drastically reduced. The roadmap for the execution of the legislative agenda needs a more specific commitment in terms of dates and deadlines. Rock mechanics and seismicity studies are important disciplines in ensuring that the rate of fatalities in the industry continues to fall. However, there is a minimal consideration given to other critical skills which are also crucial in dealing with emergencies in the industry, like mine rescue. So, the slow pace in the modernization drive for Samrat is inconsistent with the goal of realizing a transparent and efficient mineral rights allocation regime. The leaders of mini mine incidents remain unresolved. It is important to ensure that a final resolution is realized as soon as possible. Retrenchment by the mining sector remains the problem with the department. About 60 mining projects are in the pipeline. Huge backlog in processing licenses in Mpumalanga remains a concern by the committee. Compliance and enforcement in the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy remains the problem. The effort by the department to utilize healthcare facilities by communities residing nearby the mines was welcomed by the committee. That is the observation on members on recommendations that may be with all of them. On recommendation one, that the Department of Mineral and Energy should devise a plan that will deal with the whole value chain of illegal mining. That it should clarify the stage of its beneficiation strategy and present it to the committee when it is completed. No, we can't. In due course. What if they don't complete in the next 5 years? Yeah. No, we can't. Should that the department should invest more in publicity trials on the mining charter 3, and its associated benefits to mining employees as well as the host communities. It should have a balanced approach in financing studies related to mining staff skills. Focus also needs to be given to mine rescue skills. Should continue to invest in occupational diseases related to sex in order to drastically reduce the burden of occupational health in the industry. It should produce a time frame specific legislative program with a binding time frame. It should also invest in mine rescue training over the above issuing of bursaries for rocks, mechanic and physicist studies in order to deal comprehensively with the fatalities and the injuries in the industry. Should explore all possible funding avenues, including approaching treasury, to speed up the modernization of the SANRED database. It should continue to facilitate a resolution to the leading mine tragedy and continuously provide progress reports to the portfolio committee. Should present plans on how to mitigate the retrenchment in the sector. Also should ensure that the legislative program is submitted to the committee by 31st July 2019. It should present to the committee the strategies which are outstanding from the previous financial year's commitment, namely IRI, the Women in Mining and the Coal Strategy. We should present a plan to the committee clearly demonstrating how it is going to address the backlog on the MTSF goal for rehabilitation of the limited onerous mine.
So you can go back on the last two, the observations, right? Only. It's corruption on the other side. Like I said, Honorable, there is a member I have said in Hong Kong, they were telling me, he said, yeah, 20 million. So it is not just an act of crime, it is also an act of corruption. So I don't know, but we may find a better industry who are free. So that we don't think makers if there is no structure. The point is that structure exists, it remains inefficient. When you speak to them, they will tell you they don't even who says what is meeting when they meet. So I thought that observation should be made, that there is a structure in the matter, the multi-departmental structure on the issues of illegal mining. Regrettable that structure by my own, okay, let me put for finish for myself. By my own, the mere fact that even the minister could not speak about it, it actually means it remains an ineffective effort. I don't know, but I thought so that we I'm not saying there's something that has been done, but the truth of the matter is that once you don't recognize it, you'll never be able to make them account. But I'm leaving to members if they feel we should leave it outside. Babu Kul and then Babu Kuzuma. Okay, and then Honorable Philip and then Honorable Mali.
I think there's another issue that we know to check. The issue of the social labor claim. That in their current form, they're not doing the same. And the issue that the Indigenous community would need to improve on.
The issue of the illegal mining, to me, because it's not a priority to them. Whereas I think close to 41 billion is lost a year due to illegal mining. But even such a high figure for them, it's like they are blaming or they are shifting the responsibility to the police by only saying it's a criminal activity. Therefore, the police must deal with it. Maybe the core of the problem is the attitude towards the problem.
Okay, Honorable Philip.
Thank you, Chair. I just like to just on
illegal mining. There are two countries where they have been taken into the formal sector very successfully. The one is actually Rwanda, but crime there is very low. And the other one is in Venezuela, and as we all know, Venezuela is in an absolute disaster area at the moment. But they have successfully integrated Zamazamas into the formal mining sector. And what I'd actually like to tell you is that the main person involved in that is actually a South African. So we haven't used him here. He's actually taken his expertise into Africa, and he's been successful in bringing approximately 2,500 to 3,000 illegal miners into the formal mining sector in other countries. Thank you.
Honorable Malik.
Chairperson, without us sounding xenophobic, also Thank you, Chair, to the members. Without us as a committee sounding xenophobic, we also noted as the committee that most of the people who are doing this illegal mining are not from South Africa. I don't know, because we are talking about the structure that means to put them there, your home affairs and everything, the criminal element. How do we also infuse the criminal element and the illegality of the people who are doing the illegal mining there?
No, Father, remember, we are making observations. We are not rehashing discussion now. We are making observations. That's why I said we should, whether we can't deny the fact that there is a structure that is dealing with the issues of illegal mining. But the truth is that the Father of money in the end says, the mere fact that it means there is a problem with home affairs. But the truth is, There's a problem with intelligence. There's a problem with police. Honorable Zungu, I may not necessarily say it is wrong, but it may not be just the attitude of the department. There's a problem with the department. And all these combined together, that's why I said we should acknowledge that there is a structure that exists, but in the, as long as in the manner that it is, it remains inefficient. Then maybe we draw a recommendation amongst other things that say the department must be able to come back to the committee and report on a comprehensive anti-illegal mining strategy. For example, the problem is that amongst other things we raise on that, in the manner in which we issue licenses and in the manner in which we close mines, it could be part of the reasons why you will never be able to deal with illegal mining effectively. So as long as you close the mine, but the commodity still remains. But if you mean Zama, they are mainly, but if you go to the Limpopo area, those people, especially like Honorable Philip says, some of them, they just require a clear strategy on how to absorb them into artisan and mining. But the other, 3,000 is nothing. If you go to the Free State in Zama, there will tell you in an era that people underground are more than the people in the township. So you may have 20,000 illegal miners underground than the 10,000 that you'll find in the community around. So the point therefore is that only a comprehensive strategy that the department must present here. Then we can start to say as a committee on what you are suggesting. We don't think it's going to help, except if Home Affairs does this, except as a department you do this, except as the other department does this one. Because I don't think in illegal mining there's only one problem, and you can't get one solution. It's a multi-strong strategy that you need, and when the department, unfortunately, we can't make police to come and account to this committee. That's the representative plan. We cannot make Home Affairs to come here. The department, and I think that's what we may all agree, the Department of Mineral Resources is the lead department because it must protect the mineral wealth. And that's their duty. So can we then couch it in that manner to say we want the Department of Mineral Resources with any other person that might be relevant to the matter to present a comprehensive strategy to deal with the issue of illegal mining. When they come back, they can talk about converting some of them, they can talk about the issue that relates to managing crime and corruption, they can talk to all these list of issues. For example, one other thing was said is that if you look at gold is not the same as diamond, and you don't have an international treaty that illegalizes trading gold outside the border. But diamond is well protected through the Kimberley process. So even our own commodities are not the same. If you talk about chrome crossing the borders from Mpumalanga to Mozambique, they will tell you how they load chrome and put on top what is on top. And therefore, when the police themselves, they can put a roadblock, they don't know, there are no police that are trained into specialized commodity detection. That's why even if you go, when we go out, we'll see a lot of people follow those things. When you go out, they can tell you in the police station that we cannot detect the stones that have been extracted below, whether this is gold or is non-gold. They require another process. And the law says within 24 hours, you must have charged someone. Now, within 24 hours, that person must be released. You cannot go back and re-arrest. So that's why I said the department, the only people that can help us as this committee is the department to come back and give us a comprehensive strategy in dealing with the problems of illegal mining. And that thing is a part of the recommendation. But
I wanted to make a request because we've got the observations that we've made here. When we move forward, I agree with your approach on the on the recommendation, on what is done. I think that is the best approach. But already, so that when we move forward, we don't do what we are doing now. Already on the observation, you say there is no proper plan on what the government will do to address the issue of illegal mining, and then we go on and on and on. So we don't come again and make an overemphasis on the observation that we have already made, so that we are able to move forward.
Okay.
Yeah, that is just
Chair, just in terms of order.
Yeah.
Chair, I have a problem that we are discussing a report and we're going to adopt that report without the ability to amend the report. In other words, as a committee, we received this last night. We're now discussing it. We should have the ability now to amend it and then in a day or two come back and say, yes, we agree with the amendments that have been made, or no, we don't agree with the amendments that have been made. That's a procedural issue. So I understand the time pressures that we're under. I absolutely get that we are trying to do this before the budget debate and so on. But from a pure process perspective, we should be able to have the discussions that we're having now, reach some kind of consensus, insert what our thoughts are on, because this is not our document until we've actually amended it. It's the committee assistant and the researcher's document until we, as the committee, have put our thoughts into it. So I just want to raise that as a concern with you.
No, I think that's all we said. We said, and no matter
something,
who would have that? There's no one who has done that to you. But the fact of the matter is that we have to do it. So even if we do it, you can put it in the parliamentary process that was agreed by parties that this is what we need to do. So I know that. That's why I said when I opened yesterday, unfortunately, we don't have luxury of time. But the amendment is because, regrettably, you won't have a day or two. So we agreed with ourselves on the committee to say we'll work within the council given. But in future, I think we must all say we will give the issue in our respective parties. So in future, please don't congest things in the manner that has happened. But honourable members, can we go to the if we then agree? I take note of what you said, honourable Pola. Before I move over and over, let me allow honourable Rasal.
No, I just want to correct what in the future would be considered a norm, and if we follow that, would be wrong. Honourable Miller says this report is not about reports and administrative reports. These are observations summarized by the administration. So if we fall into that trap that before we adopt it, it's not our observation, we would be wrong.
No. Point of order. I'm being mischaracterized here. What I said is until we adopt it, it is not our report. And it's not our report. Yes, the observations have been recorded, but they might have been recorded incorrectly. They might not have captured everything that we had discussed or whatever. So we still have to have an opportunity as a committee to insert or to amend or say that's not what we agreed or whatever it might be. And then once the report has been corrected, then we adopt it and then it is our report. That's been the standard practice of Parliament since 1994. That we have an opportunity to amend the report and then adopt it. And I get that there are new members on the committee who don't know the process, but that's the process of Parliament. I'm sorry.
No,
but
you
also.
Chair, I think the honourable member is way out of order. What was said by honourable minister is the instructor. He said in this meeting that this is not our report. It's an administration. It's the report that comes from the administration. So you can't say that when we correct him, that is because we are new in this committee. All of us are new. This is a new chair. Even myself, we are new.
Can I help you? This is Father Zola. Can I help you? Can you give us the report? One. The report, I don't think there's someone who... Not honorable, I understood honorable Marshall said. is that the observation as recorded are a reflection of the discussion of what we have had in the interpretation of the presentation. We can sit here and be linguistic. There's nothing wrong with that other than the Mailam said, but no one said the report is ours. The report can never be a committee report if it is not adopted by the committee. So we shouldn't argue on something that we all agree. But the issue I wanted, that's a bit to correct. Because I will never allow a report to come to the committee when as a chairperson I never participated in the drafting of the report. It is not necessarily only the report of the staff. It is a report that was prepared for the committee, which includes the chairperson. So if there is an error, or whatever in the committee that was made, from the chair's point of view, I cannot abdicate that responsibility to the staff and say to the staff. So I take full responsibility, but I agree it's not a committee report until it is accepted.
Chair, can I ask you this?
Yes.
If we make a decision now that we want to put something into the recommendation,
yes.
So this committee decides that they agree that there are some things here that need to be amended.
Yes.
Are we going to get a clean report that we can then adopt?
Clearly not then.
And then a retyped report that we are going to adopt?
No. Let me help you with that one. You correct the report and the record that here. The minutes of this meeting that adopted the report will reflect in the next meeting. So the report, it is, even if you were to give you 2 days, you don't come back and say, I will wait for the report, those corrections you made. For instance, Honorable Ola now said, among other things that are lacking here, is the issue of the SLP. And that is being accommodated. Except if we go to the procedure that says, because even when you come back with that report, it will mean until you are happy and satisfied, because we may say now go and print it and bring it back with the corrections. But you cannot make corrections in the same meeting. You convene a meeting, let's assume, for next week. When you come back next week, you still have got a query on it. It will mean you never adopt a report as a committee. So the procedure, I want to deal with the procedure. The procedure is that in the committee you adopt the report. If the report is not reflecting what you do, let's understand, because it's only a report. If the report does not agree, we don't agree that this is what you adopted, it will be ACC, you've got a right to correct it, that the report is not a reflection of what you are creating the committee. The minute you come back to this committee, you correct the minute and say, in the report is recorded that we said this, which is not what we said. So can we continue, Honorable Members, and then can we get a move of the report?
No, sorry. Yes,
sorry.
You asked about the observation, and I said I didn't have any concerns with the observation,
yes.
But I do have concerns around some of the recommendations.
Okay.
So, Chair, the first thing that I'd like to amend is the very first bullet point, where it says that it should deal with the whole value chain of illegal mining. I'd like to add on the end of that sentence, including programs for mainstreaming artisanal miners, bringing them into the mainstream legal mining community. So how do we take people that are underground illegally, how do we bring them onto, so that they are legal? What can we do? That's the first one. The second one goes to, there's a bullet point, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth bullet point about occupational disease-related research. I'd like to add a bullet point in immediately after that, that says that the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy should report annually on mine health issues and fatalities to the committee, and programs being undertaken to prevent these. It's not in there, I'm saying to get added in a bullet point. After bullet point 5, after occupational diseases. To report annually on mine health issues and fatalities and steps being taken to prevent them. Then, the fourth bullet point from the bottom, I think is reactive. In other words, it says,
the minister should present plans on how to mitigate retrenchment in the mining sector. I don't have a problem with that. But I think we need to add to that sentence, and plans to increase investment attractiveness. Because we can't just say, well, we're going to band-aid the job losses. We need to bring new mining investment into the country as well.
Okay. Honourable Member, let me start on this one. Honourable Member, I don't have a problem with such a suggestion. But that's why I said probably might have to change the first paragraph. It says the department must report to the committee on a comprehensive strategy on how to deal with illegal mining. My main one, that if you swing out conversion of illegal mining into artisanal, my understanding is that in that comprehensive strategy, it will deal with all aspects of illegal mining, the conversion, the issues of crime, the issues of corruption, and so forth. Because, for instance, you raised a very serious point when the minister was there. I don't know how far you've taken it. Remember that the minister said it's a kickback, so I'm explaining what does a kickback mean. We cannot present as if illegal mining, the department, and the department or its officials are not party to. And that's what you mean. So we say must bring it, must come with a comprehensive strategy. So I don't have can't we live with that? Maybe we can make an example and say IT in conversion of.
Well, I said include.
Yes. Oh, okay, fine. So can you? The second one, my main one is that aren't we finding ourselves on something that we should be doing anyway? Instead of using annual and say the department must continuously brief the committee on the challenge so that. We don't say if there are nothing is worth sitting here because at some point we're sitting where there will be five people and then they say, no, you said I must annually. Now annually could mean they come next year to brief us on fatality. Mm-hmm. So I say, can't you put it and say the department must continuously brief the committee on the challenges in relation to the fatality. Now the problem with fatality is what we condemn some here. For example, there are problems that may relate to research and development. I think that one.
As long as we include mine health,
exactly.
Mine health,
yes.
And mine fatality.
Yes. Continuously brief the committee.
Yes.
Okay. The last one, I don't think we can have a problem with what you say on the job losses, but I must say including strategies to improve investor attractiveness, whatever we say. So it becomes part of the strategy. Okay, are we happy now? Okay, you don't have to be happy anyway. are you okay now? Can we get a move of the report? I'm not leaving you. From the chair, let me say, can we move the report with the amendment made?
Yes, I move for the
any second about Fula?
I know how to thank you, it's not me.
Fula of course.
I second the adoption of the report with the amendment.
Okay. Honorable Maila.
Chair, could you note that the DA has reserved its vote at this stage?
Okay, thank you. You want me to give you 5 minutes, please?
Wow. Oh, with your energy?
No. Let's go to energy. Aye. Honourable members, I'm overruled and I'm very happy and accepted. Any comments on the layout on energy from page 1 up to... From page 1 up to page 9. Okay. Honorable members, observations, we start on page 30. No more.
Chair, on the observations, I just have a question about the LNG
plant issue, because I didn't understand the minister, and I was having difficulty following what he was saying about that opening of an LNG plant in Kuka. Because he said that if it takes a year, the plant will go to Kenya, which seemed to imply that the plant was a private investment, not a government investment. I could be completely wrong here. I didn't actually quite follow what the minister was saying. That it was a licensing and regulatory issue that was preventing a private investor from opening a plant, and that there were questions whether the plant would be opened at Richards Bay or Kuka. So that, I don't know that we can say government is in the process of opening an LNG plant, because I didn't get that impression from what the minister said, but I mean, maybe somebody heard differently from what I did. But he did say, he said very clearly, if we don't sort this out quickly, it will go to Kenya. Now, Kenya is not under our government's control. We certainly wouldn't be opening an LNG plant. Well, maybe we would. I mean, South Sudan is an example, but I don't know. I didn't understand that, and I don't think we should record it the way it's been recorded yet.
Okay. Can I understand? Look, read the, in that paragraph before it, the LNG is what is being proposed in Kuka, or said should be considered. The refinery is the one that is proposed for Richards Bay. The minister, as far as I understand, you are talking about the refinery. And so if the investor wanted to invest in a refinery and have identified Richards Bay, you are then saying, if as a government you tell the investor where, you will stand up argument, the investor will take the money, go and do that refinery in Kenya.
Okay.
So the LNG is very difficult, but you try to explain let me not go there, it is fine, natural gas, and then if you do this, it's converted, and this, even the deputy minister said the same thing. I understand the LNG is different from the refinery, but in the case of the madam, you are teaching my man. So how do I read this? I now know that they have got right people who started the report. It made my work much more easier. Any other person who wants to comment on the observation? Okay. You know what is nice about this thing is that even if you adopt the report, it doesn't change, you still have to debate it. Okay, other members, recommendation? There are only 30 recommendations. But the other one was decided to postpone them for the next session. So we end at 8. Honorable Madam?
Chair, the first recommendation, it talks about the integrated resource plan, but it doesn't talk about the integrated energy plan, which is also supposed to be updated on an annual basis. And I think that we should say, present to the committee the finalized integrated energy plan and integrated resource plan once it has been finalized, and thereafter on a regular basis. Then I want to suggest that we add a recommendation under recommendation 9, which is what I spoke to the minister in the meeting about, and that is the issue of licensing around small-scale embedded generation, specifically renewable energy on houses, the ability of municipalities to purchase electricity directly from independent power producers, the regulatory framework around grid tie-ins for small-scale renewables, and the ability to wheel electricity between private producers. So those are licensing and regulatory issues. They sit directly in the domain of the minister. The minister has the ability to sign up on it almost immediately. It's a very quick process. But I'm not asking him to sign, I'm asking him to respond to these issues in the interest of providing energy security, a move towards a cleaner energy economy, and
to opening up a clean energy market in South Africa.
I just want to sincerely ask Honorable Mayor to repeat what exactly he is saying, which we will set in point number 9.
Okay.
All the people that respond, I don't have a problem, but explain. Okay, okay.
Shall I repeat, Chair?
Can you repeat?
So, I suggest point 9. The Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy within the current financial year address the licensing issues around small-scale embedded generation and renewables, comma, the ability of municipalities to purchase directly from IPP, comma, the regulatory framework around grid tie-ins for small-scale renewables, comma, and the ability to wheel electricity between independent power producers.
Can I go up and say, do we really think we agree on that? Let me say why I said, the department talks about the process that is underway of the IRP, the integrated resource plan. Now, which is what the minister was saying, aren't we now running ahead to talk about the choices of that process, including the question of energy purchase, which is that the issue, or we talk about the speeding up of that process. That's the first one. The second one, was we were told that in the legislation that was withdrawn, it said the issue of that process is that first there to deal with the issue of this energy structure, of how the energy structure, so that those choices that you talk about become, that's my understanding, they become the end product that we choose, and this is what we suggest will happen. But if we draw a conclusion that, for example, because we even spend money, we have not drawn the conclusion whether there should be a direct purchase, but the understanding that that process will be the one that will ultimately say this is how we deal with the question of energy resources. But my fear is that if we then become specific, we may then be saying we are neglecting one at the expense. When that process is proper, my understanding is still going to come to this committee.
Chair, I'm not forcing the minister into a particular solution here.
No, I'll come to you.
All I've said is that he must address the issue. He must tell us what his thinking is. That's all. I'm not saying he must do this or he must do that. He must bring the country into his confidence about what the plan is going forward. So address the licensing issues around small-scale embedded generation. It doesn't say you must do this kind of license or that kind of license. It just says, tell us.
Okay, I'll come to you. Honorable Mashal, and then Honorable Kuna.
Thanks, sir. I fully agree with you. And for some reason, Honorable Mayor may not see that he's agreeing with you as well. That the point number one says the minister will present to the committee the finalized integrated resource plan once it has been gazetted. So if we want to choose some issues on the integrated resource plan, like you are saying, we'll be getting ahead of ourselves. So in my view, we are agreeing that let it come here, we see what it entails, and we'll make those recommendations at that point.
Following on what Honorable Makaule has said, Honorable Chair, and I'm glad that the Minister raised this issue, I think we must continuously caution members of the Portfolio Committee against of being advocates and lobby for certain power producers. And I don't think we're at that stage yet. The stage will arrive let us leave the recommendation as it is. Once we've got the integrated resource plan, we can then speak to all the issues that the Honourable Mayor needs to do.
Sorry, Chair, just on point of order. I object to being characterised as lobbying for a particular interest. I asked for an open discussion. I asked for the Minister to tell us, to bring us into his confidence. I didn't push a particular angle. And if the Honourable Member believes that I am lobbying a particular solution, then you know what, we can have that discussion outside. But right now, all I'm asking is to be brought into the Minister's confidence as to what the program is for small-scale embedded generation, given that the department itself identifies this as part of their clean energy solution in Program 6.
Can I explain a bit? May I help you? The issue is that paragraph 1, which is what I think we must talk about, paragraph 1, maybe we should take out the issue that phrase when it is gazetted. We all agree that the minister will have to come and present with the comments. So that at that time, we said this is a plan. Now, that is the first point. The second point, I thought, let me again explain, I'm not protecting you, you are capable, honorable caller, to protect yourself. My understanding, and I think if that's the offense honorable Maila may are taking, you know, sometimes we assume each other before we speak. And it's not going to make the work of the committee easy. What I thought honorable Fuller was saying was that the minister cautioned that part of what he has seen is that caution the committee that we should not fall on the trap of what he has observed, that there are people who are lobbying for this or that. He said, please be careful. Now, the point I was trying to drive is that can we retain the standard of routines and say the department must present to the committee, the finalized, must present to the committee the approach towards the finalization of an integrated resource plan, including the structuring of the energy mix, and we leave it at that. That it will also tell us how to approach the area of consumption when it comes to energy. Then, I'll try and say, we don't want the minister, so when he comes here, he must explain this. He must explain the entire energy mix on the attitude that the department is looking forward to. That's why we didn't enter that debate. We said, please, Minister, we want you to come back, present the same thing in the strike plan, but unfortunately, we can't say it here. And say, no, not presenting the strike plan. That says the minister must, with the agency, brief the committee on the approach towards the finalization of an integrated resource plan, including the structuring of the energy, whatever we call it, but because there is that process. Maybe one thing that's why we said, you know, there is some, we talk about the issue of the legislative process, which is part of what we're doing. So I don't think, my main worry is that once we start to categorize what we talk about, I fear, for instance, I don't think there's a community that talked about any. What do you call this thing? Plants, power, and so forth. That all that will be brought to this committee. Can we take that as a better amendment and then take out finalize and say finalization and approach towards the finalization of the take out finalize. Who will take out gazetted? We don't have to wait for him to gazette it in order for the department to gazette it before it comes to the committee. Because there is an urgent need to deal with energy challenge. No one can deny that. Can we leave that in a structured way in that fashion? Can I get a mover?
Thank you,
with the amendment.
I move for the adoption of the report with all the amendments.
Thank you. Honorable Honora.
Now it's a thing with